let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. Please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I did not read this passage last week, but I want to read it this week in your hearing. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Please turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, we're talking to Christian folk, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. And we'll deal with that abounding. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. You want to know the will of God for your life? For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, that is his body, in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for this whirlwind week you have given us, and we give you the glory, praise, and honor for every blessing. And Holy Father God, we individually confess our sins, and I hope that that is true for everyone here. Honestly confess our sins, and not only confess them and apologize for them, but repent of them, and to turn away from them permanently and not be a hypocrite and only willing to apologize and admit things in front of certain people, but not in front of you and mean it and others. So Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to be real. Help us to be open and help us to be transparent and honest. Crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us all, and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit and your anointing, your unction. Rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from these services today, from all other services that are happening around the globe, in your name and for your glory. Rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, Lord, from this time. And crucify our flesh, and surround us with your protection, a band of your holy angels, and have your holy word to go forward as it has in the past, and to do the work that you want done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Take a peek at what he put out there and make sure there's no problems. Just take a peek. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, in our battle against the temptation of lust and fornication and adultery and concupiscence, we have been made aware that our goal is to walk or live in such a way that pleases God. Such a life is one in which our hearts and our minds, not just our bodies, are purified from all forms of sexual temptation. Because God wants to use every part of us for his glory. His praise and His honor. He wants us to be pure on the inside and the outside. There is a blessing that comes to us if we abstain from sexual sin of any kind. Lust, pornography, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, all of it, everything. And that blessing is sustained spiritual growth and intimacy with God and abounding with God's favor and blessings in your life and in your work for the Lord. Paul says that when we abstain from lust and evil concupiscence and fornication and homosexuality and pornography and adultery, the blessing is we will abound more and more in our Christian walk with the Lord, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, materially, even financially, if we obey God. But this is not an emphasis on money. The emphasis is on abounding in every way, every aspect of your life. Having God's favor is what we're talking about, God's favor. Somebody said many years ago that God's favor is not fair, but it's good. And I'm here to tell you, you will not enjoy life. You will certainly not enjoy the Christian life if you don't have God's favor on your life. And that's what this is about, abounding in God, in the favor of God, in every aspect of your life, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, your family life, your church life, your business life. God will bless it. And God will bless you with favor if you stay away from all sin, but especially sexual sin. The word abound means to be great or be blessed in a great fashion, or abundant in substance. Jesus talked about the abundant life. So many people are living a meager life, even as Christians, and not living abundantly, being fruitful in their lives. We're not talking about financial blessing alone, but just all the way around. To overflow, your life ought to be overflowing with the fruit of the Spirit, with grace, with favor, with love. Love towards God, love towards others, love towards yourself. To overflow, to excel, to make excellent. When life becomes a beautiful thing, regardless of the situation. Or to furnish richly. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, a sexual sin of any kind, be it being caught up in lust, controlled by your lust, pornography, evil concupiscence, homosexuality. I marvel that the world, out of all of the sins, not only do they not want us to preach against the abomination of homosexuality, they want us as the church to declare that homosexuality is not a sin. How ridiculous and how insane is that? But they want us to continue to say adultery and fornication is a sin. But hands off of, in my opinion, the worst sin of them all, the abomination of homosexuality. Which is a prideful attempt, a proud attempt to turn God's world upside down. And they don't want us to touch that. And to me, that is just as asinine as it could be. You say, preacher, you can't say those things today. Just did it. And we'll say it again. Sexual sin short circuits our spiritual growth. It short circuits our blessings. I'm talking about abounding in God's blessings, where everything is overflowing. The old saints used to talk about living that life of my cup runneth over, the overflowing life. When you get to the point as a child of God, you even whisper to God, God, you're blessing me too much. You're blessing me too much. Lord, it's just too much. Lord, just take me on home. I can't bear it. I can't take what you're doing in my life. Abundant blessings. Now, if you are in sin and you have not confessed your sins, you have not repented, you got a wicked heart of homosexuality, you got a wicked heart of fornication, you got a girlfriend on the side, you are male and you got a boyfriend on the side, you are a female and you got a maintenance man on the side, you're not going to have, you don't even know what I'm talking about. You're very immature as a Christian. You have no clue of the abundant life. You have no clue of abounding in the work of the Lord. You have no clue about having a whole life, a life that is whole and blessed in every which way. We're not talking about things going perfectly, but everything is just hunkadory all the time. But whatever the situation, you are abounding in God's mercy, grace, and favor, and blessings, and you know it. And whatever the problem is, it's just a temporary thing that the devil is trying to do to try to hinder you. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot have a rich, robust inner spiritual life with God, if we are engaged in those things that he has strictly commanded us not to do. Your fellowship will be broken. Your blessings will not be coming. And see, this is what is wrong with the church today. We have Christians going to churches today that will tell you basically, very clearly, you can do what you want, and God is going to still bless you. Your sins are under the blood. They are. But these sins you're committing right now, you have not confessed them. You have not repented of them. You have every intention on spending this afternoon with that new boyfriend you found after church. Maybe even at church you found them. That new girlfriend you found at church, you have every intention on having her or being with her at her house or your house, which you know is wrong and you know is going to lead to some trouble. Oh, you're just an old fogey. You're just an old fashioned fellow. It's okay for us to sit down at the dinner table alone and the girlfriend's apartment and the boyfriend's apartment. Well, let me just tell you what's going to happen. Okay, you're going to sit down at the table, you're going to fix your little spaghetti dinner or your little favorite meal, and before you know it, he's going to have you on the bed or the couch. And before you can say stop, everything will be over. That's what's going to happen to you, dear little Christian brothers and sisters. And then you're going to be filled with guilt and regret. Just eat down at the restaurant. And then, in the words of Shirley Caesar, go to your own house. You got many things you ought to be doing at your own house. And one of them is not fornication. One of them is not adultery. One of them is not homosexuality activity of any kind. And yes, oral sex is sex, in case you're confused. I thought that was settled with our President Clinton. Any kind of touching like that is sex. Anything else you have in mind that you think is not sex, let me help you. Those ladies who say, I'm trying to save myself from marriage, but this right here is okay. No, it's not. Hear me and hear me well. No, it's not. You're not a virgin if you do that. You're a wannabe virgin. So don't be deceived. In order to abstain from fornication, in order to abstain from adultery, Paul says every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. In order to abstain, I've never had any homosexual feelings in my life. I can't imagine what a man wants from some ugly, stinking man. I've never seen anything good in a man. I don't see what women see in men. I'm not a woman. I don't have these people talking about my female side. I have no female side. I don't know what you're talking about. So I don't see any attractiveness in an ugly, stinking, squared-off head man. There's nothing, absolutely nothing. In fact, I have put a stop to men hugging me. Those days are over. Don't you hug me. Don't hug me. No, I'm going to barely shake your hand from now on. Don't you ever hug me in the church. No more. I know that's bad English, but I'm telling you, don't you hug me. I'm not going to hug you. Not even a little shoulder-to-shoulder hug. I don't know. No. We got too many homosexuals running around here. Too many effeminates. No more hugging. In order to abstain from fornication, which includes homosexuality, Paul says every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. You say, preacher, I don't like you. I got some folks in this congregation who don't like me. That's okay. I'll never give a dime to your ministry. I've never received a dime from you yet. Anyway. You ought not to say those things in mixed company. What do you mean? What are you talking about? If not now, when? When you're in hell, I'm trying to get your soul saved from hell. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the lost Gentiles which know not God. We are not to believe the world's lie that we should pursue the satisfaction of whatever sexual urges we have. Have you seen the goons from the tattoo festival, wherever it is, down in hell somewhere? They're on your newspapers right now. All kinds of satanic and sexually drawn up things on their bodies, looking like demons from hell. It's all about tattooing and sex. We're living in a world that's gone mad. Instead, we ought to abstain and use knowledge in order to live a sanctified and honorable life. There used to be a lot of talk among Christians about, I am saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And the truth of the matter is, we found out that so many of those who said that were the easiest ones to get into sexual sin. Jump and shout all day for 4 hours in the church Yeah, Sunday afternoon, you're in bed with one of the deacons or one of the preachers in the church, and they in bed with you. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. God wants us to confess our sins and repent and turn from our wicked ways and humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and keep our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirits, and our lives pure and clean. By the grace of God, let's do that. And we'll continue this message, if the Lord tarries, is coming next week. Let's pray. Holy Father, God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for our time together around your holy word. Help us to love it. Help us to cherish it. Help us to obey it. In the words of my dad who is in heaven, he said, "It is tight, but it is right." And when it's right, so it doesn't matter whether or not how tight it is. We need to obey it. And we have too many in our churches today who think it's okay to commit fornication. It's okay to be involved in homosexual sin. It's okay to have a girlfriend on the side and be committing adultery. And so, Lord God in heaven, for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all of our sins and help us to repent and turn from our wicked ways and humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and get back to our first love, which is you, and give us a new kind of heart, a new kind of spirit, a new kind of mind to change and to change this behavior in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for His sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sins as your personal Savior, Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." The Bible says in Romans 10:9 and 13 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. Just understand, beloved, that you are a sinner and you're on your way to hell. And God has provided a way for you to avoid going to hell so that you can go to heaven when you die. And that ought to be your main goal in life, is to go to heaven and be with God forever. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Dear friend, trust in Christ. Believe that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus will save your soul, and He will change your life if you put your faith and trust in Him. And I'll be glad to lead you in prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Repeat after me and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner who deserves hell. Have mercy and grace upon me and forgive me of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that He died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to change on the inside. And help me to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for His sake. Amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from hell, and you're on your way to heaven by simple faith in Christ. I know that's hard for some Pharisaical Christians to tell you, but I believe the Word of God. And you say, well, that sounds very simple. Why would God make it hard for such ignorant and disobedient people as we are? Stiff-necked people, hard-headed people. He made it simple for a child to get saved. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on Him so that you are now saved from sin and hell. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture.